Welcome to Sister Chats Refined. We've created a space for real conversations and a place where we can all be seen, heard, and most importantly, inspired. I'm Joy.
And I'm Liz. And we're letting you into our everyday conversations so you're going to get some of this sister energy. So whether you need
a big sis
or a little sis, sis
we got you. Welcome to Sister Chats Refined podcast with Joy.
And Liz.
And we are so excited to get started today with you all. Like, this is going to be really, really cool because all we're doing is we're bringing our everyday conversation, sometimes multiple times a day.
Absolutely.
Conversations.
To you guys.
To you.
Yeah.
That's it. So, but they're just a little bit different. They're different because they are refined.
Yes.
That's right. It doesn't mean we're putting on any airs. It's not like we're not going to be real. We're going to be super real. But our conversation over the years they've changed.
Yeah, it's completely changed through motherhood, marriage, friendships, non-friendships, all of that. So it's definitely changed. So we've taken our time to just kind of just fine tune ourselves. Mm-hmm. So yes, let the refining begin.
Let the refining begin. And that's beautiful because it's something like you think about it, like refining, like what is that? What does that actually mean to be refined? Yeah. Does it mean I'm like you know, snooty and all head up? And no. It doesn't mean that. It literally means it's like growth.
Yeah.
It's like growth and what's happened over the process of years of growth should come some refinement.
Absolutely. And who doesn't like growth?
That's right.
Growth is like, it's probably like one of the biggest things in life that you want to do, whether it's your job, your relationships, yourself. You want to have some growth. So why not fine tune yourself? You got to do it for yourself, right?
Exactly. You have to do it for yourself. And so when we think about this and when we talked about starting this podcast, mm-hmm. it really came from having conversations throughout the day. Now, Mike's my husband.
Yeah.
So Mike asked me just the other day, he was like, so if you were to, you know, think about how much time you guys spend on the phone a day, he's like, what percentage of the day would it be?
Yeah.
And so that particular day, I had actually looked at my phone after we talked and we had been on the phone for 2 hours.
Yeah.
Now, this is not just I'm sitting on the phone talking for 2 hours, not doing anything else, right? So our conversations are a little bit different. We've become refined even in how we are able to converse.
Because
on
I got kid kids.
Okay.
And my kids, they don't care who I'm talking to.
That's right.
I could be talking to the president.
They don't care.
We're talking about Obama too.
Right.
But I could be I could be talking to him and they would not care. They're going to interject. And so we get about 15, 20 interjections.
Yes. Yeah, so really the 2 hours, especially if the boys are around, those 2 hours, really like 30 to 45, sometimes 50 minutes.
Yeah.
The rest of it is, Liz, didn't I tell you? Get over there. Get off the game. You're not playing the game. I can't. So I just already know how to like automatically pause.
Yeah.
But we're also working sometimes through that. Like
Listen, Joy, every time I call Joy, I'm like, what you doing? I'm about to go ahead and do these things for the invoice. And she is working.
I'm working
24/7. Like at 7 o'clock, I'm like, Joy, she's like, I'm finishing up. I'm like, girl, we're going to have to put it
down. There's things to be done. So we are not just moms and wives.
Right.
We are both entrepreneurs.
Yes.
We both handle business.
And we're sisters.
And we are sisters. And so
like blood sisters.
Yes. And so
like she's way older than me.
I'm
the baby of the family. And she's just like,
wait, we won't do way older.
Golly.
Right now, I think we're 3 years apart. Yes. And then in December, we'll be four.
Again, way.
So that's really not that far apart. And it's great because through our refinement, I feel like our age has like the gap is closed. Like there is none. There are some times when I feel like I call you and you are my big sister.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Sometimes she has to get me together when I'm calling her for like advice about, does this look right? That's stuff that she should, I mean, you would think, just stereotypically, like the younger sister comes to the older sister, but honey,
listen,
you know, I'm not going to say older, aged sister a little more, that, you know, but we've switched that. And so in our refinement, we have been able to like close that gap.
Yeah.
We've been able to and be okay with it. There's no insecurities about that because I am confident in the woman that you have become, honey.
Yeah.
Because if
and same for you, because I feel like fine tuning is everything. I don't feel like you're always going to be refined in every area of your life. Mm-hmm. I do feel like you can move towards that growth process in every area of your life, but she might have it a little bit more than like she just said. And I have to go to her and I have to, you know, try to get that advice and kind of just hone on to what she's done in her experience. Because I also believe that just because I haven't experienced it doesn't mean I have to experience it.
Absolutely.
I can literally just go off of my sister's experience because she went ahead and did that for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I already know what that's going to look like in some areas. So I feel like your fine tuning throughout the years has been just, it's been a beautiful process. You're just shining.
Thank you. And it becomes a benefit. Our refinement, our personal refinement becomes a benefit for the sisters and the people that are around us. You know, if there are areas, like you just said, if there are areas that I have been able to fine tune a little bit more than you, then when you're lacking or you don't have what you need, then you can pull off of the refinement that I've had. And it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
That's like sisterhood. And that's when sisterhood can even be refined.
Yeah.
And so it's a beautiful, so when we thought about the, even the, I mean, because we thought about having this be like sister chats. It was like unfiltered.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, but that's not really us. And like to think about it, because through refinement, you understand that you just cannot be
just anything.
Yes.
You just can't like, just say just anything.
Yes. And I feel like unfiltered takes out. It's all the impurities are in there and all the just the gunk. And so it's just like, you gonna get what you gonna get. And I feel like I'm worth
you've never been
more.
The girl. You've never been like that.
Okay, so I'm like, I can't have anything really attached to my name that's unfiltered because I think that I have a responsibility not only to those who are around me, but to myself.
Absolutely.
I have a responsibility to not be unfiltered to a sense, you know what I mean? But to honor the refinement that's happened in my life, that the conversations that I have, the groups of people that I'm surrounded by are reflect the refinement that I have endured, that I've gone through.
And I think that's really good because you, in even in those moments, you're still authentic to yourself. So I think some people feel like being unfiltered means they're just real and they can just do whatever. I believe there's growth in that as well. I think that was a stage that I went through in my life. So it's not something that I did not go through. I would be like, I'm going to say whatever I want to say. And when I say it, that's what I mean.
Right.
And then that was just it. There was nothing that anyone could tell me and, you know, to give me a little cushion for people. But as I've grown, not only mentally, but as I've grown in life to see that certain situations, they absolutely need refinement.
Yeah.
They don't need that unfiltered.
Mm-hmm.
So whereas you can say something to your friend and you can hurt their feelings real good, you can also say something to them and make them feel real good about the direction they're going in.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just the way that I think you position yourself in your life. I think that the same thing with like negativity and positivity.
Mm-hmm.
You can look at a situation, you can either say, I'm nothing without this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can say, listen, when I have this thing, I'm everything.
Absolutely. Yes, yes, yes. I think we can become hyper-focused on what we feel we don't have.
Yeah.
As opposed to knowing what we do have and what we have garnered and what we have gained.
Yes.
In life that we can, especially sometimes when we haven't gotten to the place where I can appreciate that you have reached a point in your life where I'm still trying to get.
Yeah.
And it's almost like your experience and stuff gets thrown out the window if you see somebody else who is at the place where you're trying to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's so tough between women. And we've talked about how throughout this podcast, how we're going to talk about relationships between women and why sometimes it's so difficult to have a really good relationship. And sometimes it comes from those insecurities and not really appreciating what you've gone through and what you can give to somebody who has yet to go through or doesn't or might be needing to dodge what you've gone through. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's like everybody has something to give.
Yes.
Everybody in their process has something to give, whether it's a little or whether it's a lot. Yeah. There's something. And so like I am grateful that I get to have someone to talk to like every single day. Literally every day.
Yes. I call her when I drop off the kids.
Yes, when she drops the kids off, you know, from
before
school.
I go to the gym.
Yes, I know the routine. It's really cool, you know, and I laugh with Mike because he's like, well, you know, her husband tours. And so when Kyrie's on tour, like, it's all day. It's pretty much.
Listen, it's on site all day. All, like, but when my husband's home, y'all. Yeah, like,
listen, as soon as he walks out, I call you back. I'm like, I already know. And it's completely fine. I'm okay with that. Like, yes, go and be the wife that you need to be for your husband.
Yes. He's back home. In like maybe like a week and a half, like home for a while. Yeah. So
that's going to be good. So we already know that we're going to take it's going to be a break.
Like, a little bit. But when I go to the store, listen, when my husband come home, I go to the store.
Yes.
And so when I go to the store, I'm going to be on that phone.
Yeah. And so we talk. So I know if she calls me while Kyrie is home, she is either in the car, at the grocery store. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty it. That's pretty much it. And she does grocery shop a lot because she got a whole five kids.
Yes.
So she'd be at the grocery store all the time.
Maybe eating up all my money.
Yes. And so.
Taking all my bands.
Yeah. And so, which is, you know, we want the kids to eat.
Yeah, I'm grateful. So, I'm grateful. Yes.
So that's good. So that's when we get our really good chat in. And then this time that we're going to get to talk and share a little bit of our world. Mm-hmm. How important is it to you, I think, to be transparent during this time? Like we're letting really whoever tunes in hear the Liz and Joy that nobody gets to hear, except for husbands when they're kind of
our
sometimes
husbands
if they're
and
in
then
the room,
like maybe our closest.
Yeah. And like close
girlfriends. Yes, they like really know. I think that it is important to be transparent. It's crazy because we don't really open up this door. So this is a new door for us. So like you're tuning in, you're new to this and we're new to this too.
Yeah.
Because our conversations, they stay on that phone. They don't really stay in that text message too much. We don't really text that much.
We don't.
We text necessities.
Like we do necessities.
We text when we need to text. Yes. But our conversations coming out, I think that what we realized is that we were getting so much good information from each other that we were like, we absolutely have to share this because this can't just be us. Mm-mm. If it's helping me so good, like we'll talk about something on Monday, on Wednesday. I'm like, you remember when you said, oh man, that happened on Wednesday. Like it literally would help us throughout our week. So I think that it's important for us to be transparent because I do believe that there is someone that will gain something from our conversations and really be able to understand that, A, you're not alone. These are things that most people go through. They might not be willing to talk about it, but I think that our willingness to talk about just the things that have gotten us where we are right now, I think that's going to help a lot of people.
Right. And I think when you said that, like the willingness to talk about just different things is where we initially talked about being unfiltered because we wanted it to be like, we'll talk about a lot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And so I think that's where that was. We don't want anything to really be off limits in a sense. We're not going to be talking about nothing crazy. We just
no, we
do
know.
That. That's just not us. That's just for somebody else. That's not a show.
Mm-hmm. They got plenty of them.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
It's not there. But the realness, like of, you know, things that people are really experiencing, not only women, but men as well. But this is kind of like also, I think men will be able to peek in. You know how our husbands act like if they happen to be at home, they act like they don't really want to hear. My husband more so than anything. Because he'll be like, what y'all talking about?
First of all, can we just talk about, let's just take a little second.
Okay.
Can we just talk about how if our husbands answer our phone? So if Joy calls me, my husband will sometimes pick up my phone and be like, hello.
Yes.
And try to act like it's me.
They want a little piece of our conversation, like
so,
that
so
genuine
bad.
Interaction that we have with each other so bad that my husband will try to pick up the phone too. I'm like,
I said, you got something in your throat. You sound crazy. He's like, man, I didn't tune up enough to say hello.
Listen, but the other day when Kyrie was home and he picked up that phone, he about got me. He got me.
I was like, get off my phone.
Yeah, and then I hear in the back, I'm like, ooh. And I just start cracking up because they try that all the time.
Yeah.
And the thing is, we sound so similar that we can get them.
We used to do that in high school. Yes. Well, a little, I was not in high school with her yet, but when she went to college, we would play that game.
Yeah, because we found out that we sound alike.
My voice is deeper.
Okay.
And I'll own it because I love my deep voice.
It's fine. I think my voice is a little bit deep too, but this is what I'll say. So we used to be able to you could pick up, if Mike called me, you could definitely probably sound like me for a minute.
For just a minute.
We should try it again sometime soon.
We just have to remember, what we say.
Yeah.
So, because I know that you talk a little different than me. And
to
you,
yeah, to him, yeah.
To, like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anyway.
System chat's refined.
Yes.
Okay,
so let's talk about the fact that if you're in a position that you want to start walking in being refined in different areas of your life, how you have to surround yourself with those things that are refined.
Yes. You gotta,
What you intake mentally, what you intake, in your spirit, in your soul.
Yeah.
That's big for me. I have to make sure whatever I am eating with my spirit and my soul, that my digestion process is nice and fluent.
Yes.
Because if it's not,
it's
opposite of what I'm trying to be.
Yes. And when you talk about what you're giving yourself or feeding yourself, of course, I would love to think about lemon pepper wings, but I also am talking about...
that's what you thought about right
well,
now?
Well, no, because I'm hungry right now, but this is feeding myself in relationships and the people I hang around with. So my initial thought after lemon pepper wings or a Philly cheesesteak is...
Golly.
I know.
You better eat.
Things. I will.
And will.
Okay. So the thing I thought about was, one, you got to look at who's in your circle right now.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's a hard look because sometimes, you've been cis since middle school, okay?
Cis
and
from
that's
school.
Your rider. Y'all ride.
But she can't ride for herself.
But if sis can't ride for herself,
she can't ride for
herself. She's continuously riding in your vehicle.
Yeah.
Okay, she's not driving.
No.
Then it may be a thing where you got to look at my time with this person might be up. Or just kind of, you got the first step is look around you.
Yeah.
Look around.
Yeah.
Look where you are within your relationships.
Yeah.
But before that, look at where you are. Okay.
Yeah.
The initial step is to say, hey, I want better for myself. So that's it. So you already know that you want to head towards refinement. You want to start this journey. You want to start this process. The best thing to do when you're trying to make any type of change is to get rid of the things that don't serve you.
Right.
Right. So if you were to go on trying to do a weight loss journey, what would you do? You would go in the fridge.
And you would take those things out that are not causing you to lose weight.
Yes.
Or that are not giving you the healthy benefits that you need in order to start this healthy journey. Okay, let's talk about this. Because when you say that, when people go cold turkey, they get sick.
That's the truth.
A lot of people, when they go cold turkey, they get sick. And I believe that's the same thing kind of with friendships. You decide, I'm through with this person. I'm gonna cut them off. Without any type of maybe conversation or communication to that person. Then what happens? That person goes they don't understand it. They go into malfunction.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good. Because oftentimes if you cut something off the wrong way, because there's a proper way, I think, to do it to where it's got to be respected. I might not like it, but I got to respect your decision because I get it. It's hurtful to me, but I respect it. It can be done in a beautiful way. If not, and you're just trying to sever this thing, you're just trying to cut it immediately, and it's just kind of like, are you automatically not picking up the phone anymore?
Right.
Then, what I mean?
I've been guilty of that.
Oh.
I'm going to be honest. I can cut. Let me change my words. We're talking about words, too.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I have the capability to cut somebody off really crazy. All right? And when I say crazy, I mean no explanation, no talk, because I've made up in my mind where I'm going and it's not with you. So it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Now, I will say the lesson in that is that I've learned to communicate my reasons.
Yes.
That doesn't make me change my reason, but communicating my reason for the other party has been very beneficial.
Yes.
Because once I decide to do that, there is a reason that I've decided to do that. So I try my best to give that nice, you know, give, you know, what you're saying, mm-hmm. not cut it off okay. completely. And as cutting it off in the way of that they'll understand.
Yeah.
More refined because mm-hmm. yeah, before
refined
I was.
Refined in your cutting off.
In my cutting off because the abruptness of what I, you know.
Could do.
Yeah. It's, you know, you know, some people have that, I don't know. It's that effect that it stings.
Mm-hmm.
I've been a stinger in the past. It's like, boop.
Yeah.
And then I don't even see you anymore.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that's something yeah. I've had to grow from because it's like, that's not okay. Okay. Right. So.
Especially when you okay. fully understand it, but they don't.
Yes.
That's where, yes. and then it looks like you're a type of person. You know what I mean? Yes. Where it's just, like, you're very heartless or whatever.
Yes.
And it's like, I just really decided.
Yeah.
But I had to come into refinement to know that along with my decision comes a discussion or a conversation.
That's good. Say it again.
Along with my decision comes a discussion.
That's really good. Or y'all write that down. That one was good. And that's for anything. Think about it. Along with yeah. the decision becomes a discussion, whether you have to discuss it with yourself mentally that mm-hmm. you're doing that. And yeah. then you have to change your patterns and yeah. your habits and your behavior.
Yes. Because yes. sometimes the person's not available for discussion. Ooh. That's a little deeper.
Take it away.
But they're not available. But the discussion, it doesn't mean that the discussion doesn't need to happen. So yeah. What really made me think about that is like when you are having, you might have to have that inward discussion with yourself yeah. because people do need closure.
Closure.
It's a thing. People do need closure. But some people who feel like they don't or haven't gotten to the place, oh, goodness, I could go somewhere. I won't.
Please
don't.
They
haven't gotten to the place where they can understand that they also need closure are the ones who can cut things off. That usually comes from something early on in life.
Absolutely.
Okay, where it's just like, nah, when I'm out, because somehow, somewhere, along the way.
I'm going to say I can agree because that would be a factor with myself that when you are in a situation where you've experienced any type of trauma or hurt, before someone else can do that to you again, you decide that this will never happen again.
Mm-hmm.
And so in order for it not to happen, A, it's on my terms.
Mm-hmm.
It's whenever I feel like, guys, listen, this is before my husband, but I used to drive separate to dates because I was never going to get stuck.
Mm-hmm.
And I told myself, whenever I need to leave, I need to be able to be out. So I think that, you know, that way my mindset for just life at that point mm-hmm. was like, it doesn't matter if I feel an ounce of I'm out. It don't take much for me.
Yeah.
And I can say because of past trauma
mm-hmm.
or past hurt that, you know, that was definitely a avatar that I gave myself.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a characteristic of one of the avatars that you gave yourself.
What?
Right?
Of one of the, she made it seem like I had four or five.
I mean, because I think we do. I think it's not just one like avatar. When we talk about avatar, Avatar is much like the avatars that we create online now. It's just kind of bringing what we've been doing into a reality that everybody can see. Right? So, like, I can create this avatar of me, you know what I mean, that I show everybody else.
Yeah.
And it's there's a really great reason for this avatar because it has to do with my journey and my experiences. So now who I've become is an avatar of what I've had to create based off of the things that I've experienced, good or bad, okay? Based off of what people think about me already, it's the avatar that I have to continue to build upon.
Mm-hmm.
And so then that's how we get into places and we're not our authentic self,
yeah,
right?
So how do we get from that place to starting the journey to refinement? Because if you have built all these characters of yourself and, you know, based off of past things, how do you think that?
How do you know which one to refine?
How do you know which one to refine? How do you know which one to weed out? Like, when are you, how are you finding your true self?
Yeah.
How does that happen?
Listen, I think that's really good. I think that's a great question.
Okay, so you're talking about avatars and you're just talking about how sometimes you can just like kind of build onto one due to like your past, just like changing yourself. Mm-hmm. So how do we refine that? Like what do we do?
Right. That's a great question. I think one of the things that we have to do, one, is to identify that we have created an avatar.
Okay.
Because if you don't think that you created an avatar, then you're just going to try to refine what you've created.
Mm.
Right. And so a lot of times I tell this to my voice students all the time, you got to come in with where you actually are
mm-hmm.
in order for you to be coached properly. Because if you're holding back, right, if you're holding back, then I'm going to coach you to the point to where you need to get to. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And you in your mind could be like, I already know how to do this. So it's like being true with where you are. Okay. Mm-hmm. So like you have to go and you have to understand, like, hey, I've created this person and this was me, because I thought that once I found out that I had created an avatar, I didn't even know, I thought this was just Joy. I was like, well, my avatar is pretty dope.
You like her.
Yeah,
you like
her. She's pretty cool. I like her.
Yeah.
She's not out here wild and out in these streets. Like, she's
what you saying?
Wild and out.
How old are you?
Shut your mouth.
That's what I said. She's
listen,
older.
Listen. Anyway, yeah, so I wasn't out here for the streets.
Okay.
I was, you know, I had pretty felt even my avatar was pretty... Yeah. Was pretty refined.
Yeah.
I felt that, you know, so going back and looking at the things, I think it was going back to look at the things and why I created, why, you know what I mean? The things that I felt like I could do nothing about mm-hmm. was the reason I created this.
Mm-hmm.
When I understood I did have pretty full responsibility in everything that I had endured and encountered and journeyed through, then I was able to then take that responsibility of that and realize that if I could build based off of the choices that I made, I could also make a choice to, yes, go back. Yes.
Yeah. It's just like a really big mirror that you have to look at yourself in.
Yeah.
And strip off those layers. And you might not like what you see.
Girl, who likes to look in the mirror naked? Like, for real. Like,
I mean, there's some people.
Okay.
There are some people that look real good.
Yes. And you have to get to it. But I feel like even when you think somebody should, you'd be like, I know, you know, you are beautiful. There are still some things when you look in the mirror, like there are some things
like
I want to see about myself. Yeah. I want to see myself reflect. So that mirror...
Yeah.
That you have to stand in to like strip away the stuff that has made you feel comfortable all these years
yeah.
and just stand there
yeah.
like in a sense, butt naked yeah. in that, then that's a journey. And that's yeah. why I said like this refinement is a journey.
Yeah.
It's a journey to refinement that only you can do for yourself.
Yeah.
Nobody can do it for you. Yeah. You can be inspired by someone else's refinement, but when it comes to you truly being refined, it has to be something you decide to do and mm-hmm. then do the work to actually become.
Yeah. Listen, you said it right there. I mean, but that is a part of the living well
mm-hmm.
and leading
yes,
well.
Yes.
And loving. Loving.
Yes.
That is it right mm-hmm. there, because it has to start within you.
Yes.
If you don't have it,
mm-hmm.
you know, like you said, a lot of people can try to give it to you. They can try to encourage you. But until you make the decision for yourself,
yes,
you really will be stuck.
Yeah, you absolutely will yeah. be. And if you're depending, like if you're depending on it to come from outside of you, you'll always be looking.
Yeah.
You'll always be looking. And then the responsibility that you have given others that don't even know.
Don't even, yeah.
Like, don't even, they can hardly do it for themselves. And then here you are wanting them to be
that
responsible.
Expectation.
Yes.
Your expectation
yes.
is off.
And like
again, that's that discussion.
Yes.
That's
yes.
that discussion.
Oh,
like, you know, expecting
good.
More out of others than you're actually willing to give out of yourself.
Yeah, give yourself, yes. And then expecting more out of others than they are even giving themselves.
Yeah.
And it's that just, comes from the mindset of like, people who are always givers
yeah.
and they feel like this is what I do, but it's yeah. just like, you can't consistently give if you haven't received.
Right.
So you're expecting something that goes into relationships. I mean, sister relationships, husband and wife relationships, boyfriend and girl, however this looks.
Yeah.
You can be looking for them to give you something that they are not capable of giving because they haven't given it to themselves first. And so when we look at like loving well, it's like loving yourself first so that you can love well, live well, allow that love to manifest on the outside of you. So it's already on the inside. So if you are manifesting that love on the outside of you, you can wholly live well. And as you live well,
people will start watching you.
You start watching, and then you're able to lead because you have a destination. You know where you're going. There's so many people doing this in an opposite way. They're doing it backwards. And so therefore, you're following people who are leading who don't love themselves.
Right.
You're following people who are leading and are not living out anything. You're following someone, and you are not only just following them, but you're basing your happiness, you're basing your wholeness, you're basing your everything on this person's decision. It's too much responsibility for someone else.
Absolutely. You listen, you said it right there. I'm not even going, like, it is, it's too much responsibility. And then once you realize that, I think that something just clicks. It clicks in you that you actually do have the power yourself.
Yes.
There's not anybody outside of you walking around here that has the power to change you but you.
Oh my gosh, that's so true.
That's
so true.
It. Like, it's the decision. I feel like it's that decision and that discussion. I'm telling you, I'll go back to that decision.
It's a discussion,
and discussion.
Because it's just, it's a self-discussion.
Yes, it's a self-discussion. Yes. Like, making that decision for yourself. Like, hey, this is what I'm going to do. This is why I'm going to do it. And these are the steps that I'm going to take to get there.
Absolutely.
And as you get there, that growth will refine you every time.
Yes, absolutely. I started looking at this later in my journey. I don't know if I don't know, like, but anything that seems the hardest to do. So usually it's typically difficult for people like feel like they have it within them. So it's an attack to your self-esteem. So like a self-esteem thing has been this ongoing thing throughout the world, universe, like self-esteem. Low, and it's not, I'm talking about low self-esteem. So self-esteem, as soon as you think about it, you think of low. But I am talking at this point, like this low self-esteem is so prevalent in so many people's lives that you have to know that the attack is against your esteem, because if your esteem gets to the place where it needs to be, then there really is no stopping you. So if I can continue to convince you that you're less than, lower than, or you can't do enough, or you need everybody else, then you'll never even think to look on the inside of you to get it, because you're like, oh, I couldn't possibly be me. So it's this attack of the esteem that happens, and really it's with men and women, but we see it a lot in women, and it starts early. It starts early, and it's this outward thing. So usually, if you're not the pretty girl with the long hair in school with our melanated beautiful sisters, like sometimes you got the struggle ponytail for a while.
Listen, you got
that struggle ponytail. You either have to learn how to fight really well, or you have to be, I'm serious.
Not you have to fight. I understand what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying? No,
like, you have people, you have people saying crazy stuff about you, so you have to defend yourself
like,
all the time.
This is before we were like, you know, they were putting weave in little girl's hair. Like, you was going with what you had. And mom was going to brush that hair.
I was actually just, this is a segue real quick. I was actually just talking to our big sister the other day. And I was saying how, you know, when I first got here, you know, mom was doing the, she was doing the braids. So I would get the extension braids, but my mom would leave my bangs out. Just my bangs. Like my hair.
Your bangs.
But I had a...
Yeah, you had braids.
But that's how I went to school. And you know what? At the time, I loved it.
Yeah, you wanted the bangs out.
I wanted the bangs out, but I wanted the bangs out because it was straight.
Yeah.
I wanted people to know that I had straight hair. Even though my hair was twisted up with the braid,
braided in.
That front was straight.
Do you remember when you had the braid bob for a while?
Oh, I
you had a plan.
Listen,
you about, you probably were like in fourth or fifth grade with a braid bob. Sis had a braid bob. That thing was like, she was like, no, cut it right here. You know how when you're taking, everybody does this.
And she gonna I've do seen this to me on here.
But no, every time you're taking, say you have regular length braids and you cut them first, because Lord knows you're not about to start unbraiding from the bottom like your hair is that long. Like, sis, you can cut this half in time if you just cut it at the half. So what you do is, and y'all know, you know I'm telling the truth. So you take your braids and you just want to see how you'd look with a cute bob. So you cut it across. Liz was like, I don't even want to go that far.
I mean,
just do it that way,
listen,
Mom.
And then I was on to something.
She was.
I got, you know, my locks are at a bob.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
But in fourth grade, when you got a braid bob.
In fourth grade, when you got a braid bob, you know that you
listen,
got, you were serious.
I was grown and then in fourth grade. What? I was grown.
I would. Okay. We should have had a picture. If we had known we were talking about this, we would have had a picture you do have pictures with it like that at the braid bob level.
Listen.
She was already stunting.
I was
on
ready.
The fourth grade.
I was ready.
Because
I wore suits though. But I was different. I was different. I wore suits. My husband gonna laugh at me because he says our first date I wore a suit. I did not wear a pantsuit.
A white pantsuit.
Anyway.
But.
I wore suits.
We digress. But was good.
Yeah.
But I was saying that low self-esteem starts early.
Yeah.
And so when things start early, you have to know that there's something to it.
Yeah.
Like if I got
to get you.
If I got to start with you early with something, that means I got to get this down in you real good.
Yeah.
So that you either got to go to therapy or you got to do something. Yeah. You have to make a conscious decision to get rid of this because it's been implanted so early and so, you know, for so long.
Yeah.
And you have built your principles and you built your ideas and you built your relationships and you built how you respond off of this type of trauma in your life that it's going to be really hard later when you really need to come into yourself and know who you are, your identity. It's going to be really hard later. So let me throw this in there because you're going to really have to do the work. And that's what this is about. Sister Chats Refined.
Yeah.
Understanding that the work is worth it.
Yeah. Yeah.
The work, it's worth it.
It is. Like, I mean, I work through a lot of things myself. I am a therapy girl.
Mm-hmm.
So I work through that. And I feel like that was probably one of the most enlightening and humbling experiences for me because I was a person that would say, oh, that's never going to be me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I love my therapist. Well, she's no longer, but she's here. She's here, but she's not here. She's not a therapist anymore. But she really opened up my eyes to just a lot of the things that you're saying as for who did I build?
Mm-hmm.
What person did I build throughout the years? Like, and why did I build this person?
Mm-hmm.
And really helping me to strip those layers off of who I thought I was.
Yeah.
Even though my avatar, like you said, I didn't think it was a bad avatar. Mm-hmm. I was like, this Liz, like this was Miss Lewis at the time. So this Miss Lewis, that was my maiden name. But I went through that. And for me, you know, the experience of being able to sit down and talk to somebody who was, I would say a therapist for me, I would say this, find a therapist that's for you, that's working in your favor.
Mm-hmm.
There are therapists out here that are not working in your favor.
Yeah.
All right.
And that doesn't mean agreeable.
And that doesn't mean
like the person who's like, oh, gonna, you know, but it's somebody who.
Right. Not agreeable.
Like tailor made
for you
in that moment.
Yeah,
like,
in that moment of your time.
Yeah, because I think therapists also can change. Like, she's no longer there because you no longer need her. And that in her, you know what I'm saying? Not to say that there won't be somebody next.
Right.
But it's just sometimes we could be so, like, locked in to that person that then it becomes unhealthy.
Yes,
dependent, and it's unhealthy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're not necessarily doing the work you are, but it's with this person.
Yeah.
And now I'm attached. So I feel like being able to progress.
That's a part of growth too. That's a part of growth for us. Like, I would say as a mother, I want to see my children grow. I want to give them the tools they need to be able to grow. So it's not like if I'm saying, hey, go on out there and do this, and they run back to the house, you're wondering what lessons did I teach you in order for you to become and run back in the house. You want to equip your, you know, your kids.
Yeah.
And like really even yourself. Like, you want to give yourself those tools that you can see yourself like kind of like graduate.
Yeah. And trust that you know how to utilize the tools you've been given.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times as a parent, you want to see before your children are out of the house, you want to see that they're able to utilize the tools that they've been given.
Yeah.
And, you know, even in friendship and in sisterhood, I'm using the tools that I've been given to make an impact, but also, you know, there's a part of it also is a little bold to receive, you know what I mean? Like to receive what I need from the relationships in my life that I know that serve me.
Yeah.
And then I could also just, you know, be a benefit and a help too as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Goodness, I'm loving this. Sister Chats.
We covered a lot.
We did.
Today, and yes. I know that in our next episodes, we'll be able to really break down some of the things that we just lightly touched on today, because I think it's important.
It is. Yeah. It's absolutely important to do this, to have these conversations. And, you know, those of you who are listening in and watching, like, don't shy away from having meaningful conversations with women and someone that you trust. I think so many times we spend, and we're known to, I think, and I don't, but idle conversation. Mm-hmm. Idle conversation is that conversation that is not building up anything. It's not, you know, it's
almost like passive.
It's passive. Just, it doesn't require any, I guess, thought. Sometimes it's like, to me, I attach that to like gossiping. I attach it to things that are not going to move us forward or progress. And so I, over the last couple of years, have really tried to reel in. If I feel like I'm having an idle conversation, I try to end it quickly because I know that it's not giving me any life.
Yeah.
And knowing how important and powerful your words are and conversations are, and how all it takes is two people to come and nod at the same thing.
Yeah, to agree. You know,
man. And I had to, I had to just be mindful of that. And so as you guys join us on this journey, this was so much fun. You guys, thank you for joining us for our first Sister Chats Refined podcast.
Yes.
Episode 1. So this is incredible. And you can follow us. If you want to follow us, we're online.
We don't have a page together yet.
We don't, but we will. If you guys tune in you guys, we'll definitely do it. We'll probably do it anyway.
Yeah.
But we'll do it. But you can reach me at Love My Joy Life on Instagram, pretty much any of the social media sites. I'm Joy Ellis on Facebook, but make sure you like and follow and share and let people know that this is happening.
Yeah.
And Liz?
I was going to say, can I give mine?
You can.
Or not?
You can.
Okay, so you can follow me on Instagram. I'm _ElizabethEvan_ on Instagram. I think I'm the same on TikTok. I'm not sure, guys. I'm sorry. And then Facebook, Elizabeth Tyler. So follow me there. We've got some cool content, both of us on there. Mm-hmm. It's completely different probably from Sister Chats Refined, which I think, some of you may like. But
you can see a little bit more Liz's personal life mama, because she is a superstar mom when I say this. Like, she is, okay,
because
she got kids. She got kids. I do too. I have 2 children, and we'll talk more about that later. But we also want to shout out Lucas Live Media, because this is what is running Sister Chats Refined.
Yes.
So thank you so much to Lucas Tyndale of Lucas Live Media. Yes. You guys like, share, subscribe. Make sure that anytime we're on that you guys tune in,
please.
All right.
We love that.
We love it. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you. Bye.
So until next time, live in truth, love with intention, and lead by example.
Stay connected with us on our social media platform, Sister Chats Pod, for more inspiration and behind the scenes fun.
Remember, you have the power to shape your life and the lives of those around you. This is Joy.
And this is Liz,
signing off.